Let's read from Esther chapter 5 and verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. And then let us turn to that one verse in Hebrews. It's chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. There are many exhortations and encouragements to God's people in the Bible to pray. There are various portions of the scriptures, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that give us encouragement as we come to pray to the Lord, whether it be privately in our own prayer times before God or publicly in the prayer meetings of the church. The Christian is invited by the Lord to come into his presence to fellowship with him. The Christian is invited by God into the place of prayer, even unto the throne of grace. Now, in the portion that we read from the book of Esther, there is a great picture of prayer. I believe that there is there a representation of prayer. There are lessons about prayer that we can learn from this very human incident. We know that the portion there in Esther chapter 5 records how that Esther, who was actually uninvited, came into the inner court of King Ahasuerus. And the king was sitting upon his royal throne. And the Bible tells us that when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. You may have seen pictures or representations of a scepter before. I remember once seeing the crown jewels of England. They're very, very old and they're very precious. And they're in behind a glass case and nobody can touch them. If you do, the alarms go off everywhere and the security men are all over you like a rash. So you don't want to be going near them in that way. But you can see them. And there is a scepter there. It's a kind of a long golden stick thing with a ball on top of it. It's called a scepter. And in those days, in the days of Esther and Ahasuerus, whenever the king was going to accept someone and allow them to approach onto his throne, he would hold out that golden scepter that they might be able to touch it, and then they could approach. And that's what we read there in Esther 5 verse 2, that the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And then the king asked her a question. He said, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? In other words, what do you want? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And then Esther did make her request on behalf of herself and her people. This is a great picture of prayer. And I want to link this portion with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, because there we have the Lord's invitation to his people. Here's the invitation of the great King, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, to every one of his people. Because he is our great high priest, we can approach unto his throne of grace, and we can come boldly to that throne, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is a wonderful portion for us to think about when we come to pray. God's people are coming to a throne. Now, I know that tonight we can't see any king and any earthly throne, and we can't see any scepter, any golden scepter, any other kind of scepter, but by faith, with the eye of faith, we can look to the throne of God and see our King of Kings there and realize that we have a right in Christ to approach unto him and make our requests. Now let's think about several important things that are mentioned in Hebrews 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Think about the place with me. The place, it's called the throne of grace. In prayer, every child of God comes to a throne. Now Esther chapter 5 verse 1 talks about the throne that she came to. And she came on the third day with her royal apparel on. That means that she was wearing her princely or princessly clothes. She was wearing her beautiful garments. And she stood in the inner court of the king's house. And when she approached, the king was sitting upon his royal throne in the royal house. A throne, when you think about it, is a place where you're made to feel very small. I think if you came before some earthly king, you would feel your smallness when you came before that awesome presence. Because if you're like me, you would be thinking, what am I doing, an ordinary working class person, in the throne room of a king or a queen? Why am I there? And yet when we think about it tonight, we come to the throne of grace. It's the throne of the universe. God is the king of the whole universe. He rules and he reigns on his throne. He is the sovereign God. And we are very, very small when we think about that. I do think there are people who become too big in their own eyes for God to use. But I don't think you can ever become too little. You can never be too small when you come before God. And that's literally true. You can never be too small to come before God. Humility is something that's really vital when we come to the place of prayer, because God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. We think about our smallness at the throne, but there's something else about this place. At the throne of God and of grace, we get a sense of our sinfulness. Because if you look at it, Hebrews 4:16 describes this place as the throne of grace. Now, why do we need grace? We need grace because we are sinful. Now, what is grace? Grace is the free, unmerited, in other words, we haven't worked for it, undeserved favor of God to sinful men and women. We are sinful. And therefore, we need grace. We need the grace of forgiveness. We need the grace of God to cover all our sin. And you know, the devil tries to keep sinners away from the throne of God. He certainly does that even with pardoned sinners. If we're saved tonight, the devil will whisper in our ear and he'll tell us, what are you coming to God's throne for? Why do you think that you can come to God's throne? You're a sinner. You're sinful. You're vile. You're wicked. You every day sin against the Lord in word and in deed and in thought. Why are you coming to the throne? You're not good enough to come before God. And you know, when the devil tells me that, I agree with him. I agree with him. I'm not good enough to come to God's throne. I am not called upon to improve myself before I can come to God's throne. I don't have to try to make myself better so that God will accept me. When I'm coming before God, I have to remember it's a throne of grace where we obtain mercy and we find grace to help in our time of need. If we are sinful, and we are, we come to his throne for the grace of forgiveness. We come for cleansing. We come for washing. It's not that we've to improve ourselves before we come to God's throne. We come to God's throne that he might improve us, that he might bless us, that he might forgive us, that he might cleanse us. And we come, in any case, through Christ. The devil tells us we shouldn't come to the throne. We're too sinful, we're too small. But our own hearts would keep us away from the throne. Our own hearts would tell us that we dare not draw near unto the Lord. You see, we know ourselves better, far better than anybody else knows us. Other people see us on the outside. They see just what they can see. But we know ourselves far better than that, don't we? And here's the great thought. This is a throne of grace. It's a place for sinners to come to, even pardoned sinners, even redeemed sinners, where they can find pardon and acceptance with God. Someone once said, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And we come to God's throne of grace. We don't deserve it in ourselves, but only through Christ. But this is the place. It's the throne of grace. That's where we're coming when we pray tonight. But as we think about the throne of grace, that wonderful place, we also think about this wonderful person. Because when we come to the throne of grace, it's not an empty throne. It's not a throne just sitting there with nobody on it. The throne of grace is where the king is seated. Now we go back to Esther chapter 5, and we see in that incident that there actually was somebody sitting upon the throne that day when Esther came. When Esther came in on the third day, it tells us she stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house. The king was seated upon the throne. And our king is seated upon his throne. For us, when we pray, we come to a throne of grace because it is the throne of God. It's God's throne. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own, the chorus says. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. It's the throne of God. That's the person that we approach. And the one that we come before tonight is a majestic God. He's a majestic God. He is a great king. The hymn writer and the great preacher John Newton wrote, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." He's a great king. He is the king of all the earth. He is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. Now, in the Old Testament, we read about Esther coming to an earthly throne, but we also read in the book of Isaiah about a prophet, a man who came to a heavenly throne. Now, listen to these words. It is Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. And I think the first part of this verse is very, very interesting because it tells us the time when the prophet came before God. The time when he saw the Lord on his throne. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, who was King Uzziah? He was a man who reigned on the throne of Judah for 52 years. Can you imagine? 52 years as the king. But he died. He left his throne because he passed away. He was buried. He was no longer on the throne. But in the year that King Uzziah died, it says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Here's the King of Kings. And when you come to verse 5, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The King of kings. Yes, Uzziah reigned for a long time, but then he died. But here's one who reigns forever and ever, the Lord on the throne. He never leaves the throne. He's always there, and that's who we approach. Now, if we realize this, there's not going to be any frivolity when we come to seek the Lord in prayer. I can't understand people or preachers who come before God's throne with a really light-hearted attitude. Even some of the ways that they address the Lord is almost blasphemous. There shouldn't be any frivolity, and there shouldn't be any undue familiarity when we engage in prayer. I really hate and despise the idea that God is the man upstairs. I've heard people use that terminology about the Lord. It's blasphemy to talk like that. It really is. I saw a guy with a t-shirt last week, and it really made me cringe. I know he probably means well. I know he probably doesn't understand what it is that he's doing. But you know what it said on his t-shirt? Hang out with Jesus because Jesus hung out for you. And I thought, how awful that somebody would think of the Lord in that frivolous, flippant sort of way. Hang out with Jesus. You don't hang out with Jesus. That's undue familiarity and frivolity. Now, when we come to engage in prayer, we're coming to a holy God who sees us, who knows us. He knows our every thought. We're coming before the King. And yet, though he is a majestic God, and that should make us afraid in one sense, here's something that should make us not to be afraid. Because he's not only a majestic God, he is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. This is not a throne of judgment. It doesn't say, let us be afraid to come before the throne of God because he's such a fearful God and it's a throne of judgment. Yes, you could say that to the unsaved. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but not to those who are in Christ. Because Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. God will have mercy upon us and find grace to help in time of need. Is it a time of need tonight? Yes, it is. And the throne that we come to is not a throne of judgment any longer. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. His throne is a throne of mercy and of grace. Do you know that the throne of grace is elsewhere described as the mercy seat? In the Old Testament there was a big tent type structure that Moses built called the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle there was furniture. And one of the pieces of furniture was in behind the second veil, and it was called the Ark of the Covenant. And on the top of the Ark of the Covenant there was a golden lid, and that golden lid was called the mercy seat. God said, there will I meet with thee, and I will speak with thee from above the mercy seat. God's mercy bids us come to him. He is a God of majesty, yes he is, but he's a God of mercy. And so we think about the words of the psalmist. Let's think about this. In Psalm 136, and it is repeated over and over and over again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And you read Psalm 136, and every single verse finishes the same way. Here's what it says. For his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy endures for eternity. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 26, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. When Esther came to the throne of Ahasuerus the king, you know what the Bible says happened? It says she obtained favor in his sight. She came to a throne of majesty. The king was there. She was somewhat afraid of the king. but she found it to be a throne of mercy also. When you go back to Esther chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11, it says, again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Now you think about that. Esther is warning somebody else about the fact that if you go in to see the king in his throne room and he hasn't called you, there is a law that could result in that person being put to death, except the person to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. And so when Esther came before Ahasuerus that day in chapter 5, she came with that knowledge that she could have been put to death. She could have been and was actually risking her life by coming to that throne. She didn't know whether she would be accepted or not. And of course the king showed her that she was accepted. By holding out the golden scepter, she obtained favor in his sight. But I tell you tonight, we don't need to come before God with this lack of assurance. We don't need to come before the Lord wondering, will he accept me? Will he not accept me? Will he receive me? Will he turn me away? No. If we're the children of God, we're trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're trusting in the merits of his blood, we are already accepted in the Beloved. We already have favor in the sight of Almighty God. It tells us that in Ephesians, in the chapter 1 and the verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. Here's something that's already happened. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You know who the Beloved is? It's Christ. Because God said at the time of his baptism, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration he said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And so we can and we should tonight come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, Lord willing, next time we're going to return to the same text. Next Wednesday night we're going to talk about the same thought, but we're going to look at some other aspects of this wonderful verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.